Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, calling on Devin Nunes, who's the CEO and the guru of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment. He's in a hobby, he's a vintner. But we're going to turn to his old hat. That is the one that was involved in foreign affairs for the United States Congress. Devin, we have two wars and a third one threatened. Over the last days since we spoke, the Chinese warship directly threatened an Australian warship that had divers in the water to untangle its screw propellers. And despite the fact that the Toowoomba, the name of the Australian warship, warned the Chinese warship to back off. There are divers in the water. The opinion is that the Chinese warship deliberately turned on its forward-looking sonar and damaged the health of one or more of the divers, who they immediately extracted. I'm told that sonar is like a very loud pulse that can damage eardrums and brains. It's an act of aggression on the Chinese part. That's the third threatened war. Since then, we've had a U.S. warship pass through the Taiwan South China Sea area, and the Chinese feel threatened. That's the threatened war. The active war is Gaza, where there are negotiations underway for hostages. Very odd. Day by day, we have more hostages, and we extend the ceasefire, and now there's negotiation about extending the ceasefire. As far as I can tell, there's total fog of war. And then the Ukraine, and what's fresh there is that there's a story in a German newspaper, The Bild, that the Washington and German authorities are pressing the Kyiv authorities to negotiate with Russia. And the way they're going to discipline this ambition is to cut back on the supplies to Kyiv for the winter. We had the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, was in Kyiv last week, followed by the Minister of Defense of Germany, Mr. Pistorius, the next day. And then we had this story that was picked up by Politico. But it starts in a German tabloid. However, it's consistent with an article I talked about the last weeks by Richard Haass, a very prominent emeritus president of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Professor Franco Kupchin from Georgetown University, late of the State Department for Mr. Obama's administration, both endorsing Kyiv lowering its horizon for victory. In other words, changing the end of the story. No longer able to recover Crimea, no longer able to recover Donbass. Start negotiating now for rebuilding. Does it sound credible to you that the Biden administration, coming to an election year, would choose to pressure Kyiv to settle with Putin after all the trouble we've had the last year and a half and after all the harsh words that have been exchanged?
John, it's really hard to believe what's taken place in the last year and a half. We've talked a lot about this. The stunning thing for me, in all my time in Congress, it was always the Democratic Party who were against wars, all wars, any wars. In fact, there was a whole caucus of people that were in the Congress that were against wars, except when it oddly came to Ukraine. Now, I was just leaving Congress at the time to go out and start Truth Social when the saber rattling began. I think I did your show at the time. I said, I just highly doubt, you know, Putin has Crimea, has Donbass. Why would he go in and try to take over Ukraine? Clearly, I was wrong. He did do it. I think the Ukrainians initially fought valiantly. They did protect Kyiv. But since that time, John, the surprising thing is that we've heard, you know, many stories that have been false. Going back to the very beginning, remember the I'm going to get the name wrong, but the ghost pilot, they called him the ghost, and he was shooting down, you know, I mean, anywhere from, you know, the rumors were 15 Russian planes to 30 Russian planes. They couldn't find this guy. Well, John, it ends up the whole thing was false. And that's how the war started. It started as like a Hollywood propaganda piece. And surprisingly, John, the Democratic anti-war caucus just disappeared. They were nowhere. In fact, a few of them wrote a letter and then they rescinded a letter, which I don't, in my time in Congress, I don't ever remember a letter from members of Congress being rescinded. So there was a lot of, we won't know probably for many years what went on here, but hundreds of billions of dollars went from both the United States and European allies, and ended up in, you know, sports cars that Ukrainians are driving all over in the rest of Europe. It just looks very, the whole situation doesn't seem real. And I think the part that really doesn't make it real is the fact that we got no casualty numbers. And John, going back to your era, this was before my time, but Vietnam, I mean, those were daily reports that came out of Vietnam. All the wars since then, and whether it was the first Gulf War, the second war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, never a problem getting casualty numbers out of our own government. Well, what's happened here is, John, there are no casualty numbers. Nobody's ever put out that I know of from the United States government, from NATO, the Ukrainians, nor the Russians have put out any casualty numbers. So here we are a year and a half later, going from kind of repelling the Russians immediately, then to all kinds of wild stories, hundreds of billions of dollars spent. Clearly there's got to be, you know, thousands and thousands of people that have been killed, but we don't know the story. And now we're hearing this. And John, as you know, you taught me this, ignore the first three reports. They're going to be wrong. But I think in general, I think what we can agree on is that this is at best a stalemate. We don't know just how many Ukrainians have been killed, nor Russians. But the fact that, you know, the Congress now, the Republican Party is like, look, we're for the most, you know, I think you got about half the Republicans who are saying, you know, we're not going to fund this war. And then the fact that you've got where we're funding both sides of the war, because the Biden administration did everything they could to stop oil and gas production in the United States of America, which is, as you and your listeners know, John, Russia only survives because they can provide gas to our NATO allies in Europe. And there wasn't enough gas to take out that supply. So the flow of gas has continued. The Europeans for a long time kind of made their bed with Putin, relying on this natural gas, the Germans especially shutting down a lot of their nuclear power, converting it over to Russian gas. You may remember the former German leader, whose name's escaping me right now, but, you know, retired from politics and went to work for Gazprom in Russia. So a lot of folks, I think, rightfully analyze this, that here we're funding the Ukrainians to fight the Russians, yet at the same time, by allowing, about having no sanctions and the Europeans taking gas, they're funding the other side of the war. You know, kind of similar like we have in Gaza, where we're giving the Iranians money, we're letting them ship their gas and oil, and then we're also giving the Israelis money. So it's a strange situation here, where you've got the United States essentially on both sides of every conflict.
We did have a statement from a spokesperson for the National Security Council on these matters, saying that the administration continues to give Ukraine what it needs. Now, that's a peculiar statement, because what it needs could be defined as what we believe it needs, not what it believes it needs. Right now, however, there's clearly indication, we've had reports on this, that Ukraine is not being supplied with adequate ammunition to maintain its long-range weapons. We know that. That's been an established fact elsewhere. It's winter now, So perhaps the artillery exchanges will not be intense. But in any event, there looks to be a step towards the exit in Ukraine. We'll see. The Gaza war is a total nightmare, Devin. I mean, there is no clarity there. So far, the wider war has not happened, or has it? We can't tell. Militias are routinely harassing and attacking American deployment in Syria and Iraq. There is a hijacked container ship in the Gulf, hijacked by Houthis. And we don't know about Hezbollah, except for the harassment continues there. And on the West Bank of Israel, the West Bank of the Jordan, the West Bank of the Jordan River, we have continued reports of gang warfare. So I can't tell whether there is a wider war. What I can tell is that things are extremely unstable right now. I don't have any clarity. The Biden administration doesn't, at this point, pay a price for it because there's so much trouble at home, Devin. Nobody's polling overseas. Mr. Biden's numbers continue to deteriorate, despite the fact that, I don't know, gasoline here is getting cheaper. How is it in California?
Well, John, I just paid nearly $6 a gallon over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Wow.
Look, let's just compare. We were talking about Ukraine and what was happening there with the, let's just talk about the politics, where you have the Democrats have, not even the anti-war Democrats have said anything. Nobody was crying for peace and screaming for peace. And now you've got this strange division where the Democrats have, there's open members of Congress that are openly essentially supporting Hamas, which is unprecedented. Now you've got disruptions going on all over the United States. So there's a civil war occurring inside the Democratic Party, but it seems to some wars they like the war in Ukraine. Other wars they don't like. They don't like this war in Gaza. And as you know, you've reported on your show for many times, this has been brewing for a long period of time. I date back to when Ariel Sharon gave up and got the Israeli settlements out of the Gaza Strip and said, here's the keys, run your country. Well, right away, they put in Hamas, which is a recognized terrorist group. And the rest is history. That's been brewing there for a while as they continued to randomly shoot off rockets, but nobody was prepared. And I think even the people of Gaza and Hamas weren't prepared for the success that they had, which was the brutal, savage attacks on innocent Israelis, and then the hostage taking. I don't think this was something that they were ready for on any side, either the Israelis nor Hamas. But for sure, here in the United States of America, I'm just shocked by the number of protests, John. I mean, you're closer to New York City, where they've blocked several of the bridges. They've been, attacking innocent Jewish Americans out here in California. You had the head of AIPAC in Los Angeles. I don't know the gentleman, but you had protesters show up out there. You had a Hamas supporter hit a Jewish American over the head with some type of bullhorn, and sadly was murdered or killed, died from the injuries. I think that prosecution's moving forward. So it's just there's an absolute civil war breaking out now between the sometimes anti-war wing of the Democratic Party, who are siding with Hamas, and then kind of the what's left of the pro-Israel side of the Democratic Party. There's a war going on inside the party. Forget the wars that are occurring overseas. And Biden's numbers continue to drop. And I don't know if that is a matter of that he's not clear. He has obviously the cognitive disabilities that he has. But are these poll numbers, are they due to kind of this sometimes anti-war wing, pro-Hamas wing of the Democratic Party? I think we just don't know the answer to that yet. But I've said for a long time, I don't think Biden's going to be the nominee. They're trying to push him out. Having bad poll numbers doesn't help. But at the end of the day, he's still president, and he gets to decide if he's going to run or not. Nobody else can get him out, not even Team Obama, that desperately wants him out, and they want someone else to run. But right now, that's not in the cards, John, and we're just a matter of less than 60 days from the first primary election.
Devin Nunes, the guru, the CEO of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment, and Devin NunesWines.com, his hobby. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.